All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We are going to be in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, and we are currently going through the book of Romans on Wednesday night, and so I thought I would take a snippet from last Wednesday night's service and preach it here on the podcast. I do have a number of church folks that do like to listen to the podcast, especially when they can't make it in for church service. So that's the design and purpose of these. And of course, I utilize the many platforms that are out there, Twitter, Facebook, and even Instagram to some degree, plus my blog post. And so all of that is there to try to provide some biblical instruction and encouragement through those mediums. So we're in verse number 4, and the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Paul is directing us back to the Old Testament. And obviously the important lesson, I think, to be learned from here, notwithstanding what is included in the text, you know, these are passages of scripture. These are books that are meant to be studied by the people of God in this dispensation. And the reason why I stress that is because a lot of times what happens today is people get too focused in one area of the Bible. Maybe it's the Psalms, maybe it's the prophets, maybe it's the Sermon on the Mount, maybe it's the epistles, maybe it's just the Pauline epistles, the Old Testament, New Testament, and that separation there. And they don't study those different books and places out. And I believe that as a people of God, if we're going to have a more balanced and thorough view of things spiritual, then we need to study both testaments in their entirety. And obviously, the context will dictate its application as we read through. But nonetheless, we can learn and glean some things from both testaments. Paul quoted from the books of Moses 45 times. He quoted from the prophets, particularly Isaiah, 53 times. He quoted from the Psalms 23 times. There are a number of examples where we are directed to the Old Testament. Luke 24:44, Christ said, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." And so again, Christ is directing to the Old Testament. There are some things that are said there about me. Now, think about this. The eunuch sitting on a chariot, he's reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 specifically. He's trying to understand what he's reading. The Lord sends Philip there. Philip expounds unto him the scriptures. The man gets saved, gets baptized, and goes off rejoicing. Another example can be found over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and many of you are probably familiar with this. But what did Timothy have? What did he have for scriptures? He had the Old Testament. Look what Paul says here in chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue in those things. And I believe that we ought to continue as well. Continue in the things that we're learning from both testaments, the Old and the New. Now notice what he says in verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So the scriptures were able to make Timothy wise unto salvation. Now let's look at verse 16 and 17. "Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Now, I've had people argue with me, say, well, he's only talking about the Old Testament. Now, I believe that he is directing to the Old Testament, but we're also quoting with authority a New Testament verse written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The very verse that I'm quoting is scripture. It's inspired scripture. It's inerrant. It's infallible. All scripture, that is to say, both the Old and the New Testament, are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, and here it is, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, that is to say, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We cannot neglect either testament. Both of them must be taken into consideration when we deal with the issue at hand, and that is this: written for our learning. Written for our learning. We should desire to have a robust Christian life and a robust understanding of things spiritual. Now, in studying out the scriptures, we come to a knowledge of Christ. In other words, what would we know of Christ? What would we know of his person, his Godhead, his offices, grace, righteousness, his obedience to the Father's will, that which he suffered, his death, burial, his resurrection, his ascension, the virgin birth? What would we know of these things apart from the Word of God? What would we know of salvation? What would we know of redemption? What would we know of the doctrines of salvation or soteriology? What would we know of justification by faith or justification through the blood of Christ? What would we know of the atonement, of his acceptance in his person, of eternal life that is to be had through him? What would we know of the knowledge of God? Granted, there's general revelation and we can see evidence of divine creation in the world around us, but for a more detailed understanding, we must read the scriptures, both testaments. The scriptures teach us knowledge about ourselves, our shortcomings and sin, our tendencies, teach us about our needs. And our greatest need concerns those things which are spiritual. The scriptures teach us knowledge about the invisible world. What will we know of the principalities and powers and how to combat them apart from the Word of God? The Bible teaches us about the visible world. In other words, what will we know of the natural world in its creation apart from God's Word? We can speculate and entertain humanism and rationalism, but there are no concrete answers found in any of those. God's Word has those answers for those who truly desire. You know, one of the interesting things, I always quote this verse, and I'll see if I can find it real quick here, and then I can read it to you. But in Proverbs chapter 2, again, we're talking about the scriptures and their benefit to the people of God. And one of my, I read this often, and I will quote it from time to time at the church. And beginning at verse number 1, this is Proverbs chapter 2, the Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and applying thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." It's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the living, breathing Word of God. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, a couple of things here, and then we'll close out this podcast. The scriptures teach patience and comfort. Patience carries with it the meaning of endurance, waiting on God, being patient with God, patient in waiting upon God and for him to reveal his will to us. Patience under persecution, both temporal and spiritual. We battle not against flesh and blood. Patience in waiting for the promise of his return. Just simply waiting on God. Patience under trials. We think of the numerous biblical examples. Joseph bearing up under betrayal and false accusation. How many times did Joseph go through that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob awaiting the promised land. Job and the trials he endured. And of course, we cannot forget our Savior Jesus Christ, who patiently endured the cross for us. There's comfort to be had in the scriptures. The scriptures force us to rise above our doubts, our fears, those stumbling stones in our life that prevent us from having a meaningful relationship with God, or those things that distract us from our time with Him. The scriptures cause us to think beyond the temporal realm or the worldly realm, to get us to meditate or set our affections on things above, things that are eternal. Heaven is a wonderful place. It is a prepared place. It is a pure place for the people of God. The things that curse this old world down here, sin and wickedness, the blasphemy, the ungodliness, will not be found in heaven. The scriptures direct us to find our joy in Jesus Christ. There is no true joy apart from Christ. There is no true joy found in the things of this world, but only in Jesus Christ. And you can find out about those things right here in the scripture. The scriptures challenge us that in spite of our many tribulations, our daily tribulations, we are to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, for He strengthens us and comforts us and encourages us to carry on. He gives us the ability to be able to do that. His grace is sufficient for us. Now, over here in 1 Timothy, the last thing we're going to talk about is hope. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Then we go over here to Titus chapter 1, and the Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, in the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now notice verse 3, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You know, if we want to see a revival in America, then we got to get back to a more comprehensive, you know, preaching of God's word. The preaching should not be second to anything. It should be preeminent. Preaching is king in the church. Everything else is subject to it. And I think if things have kind of reversed around a little bit, and now other things have taken place of God's word. We have hope. And what is it that secures all the hopes that we have? Now, I'm going to run through these real quick, and then I'll have you turn, if you can, to 1 Peter chapter 1, or make a note, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. But we have a hope of salvation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We have a blessed hope, Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. We have the hope of the resurrection of the dead, Acts 23, and the hope of glory, Colossians chapter 1. Well, what secures all that hope for us? Even further, if we go to Hebrews, and I believe it's Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, and that's verse 19 that we'll be in, Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19 rather, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Now jump over here to 1 Peter chapter 1, and then I'll close it out here, I promise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything that we hope for, all the promises of Christ towards us, our heavenly expectation, all of that has been signed, sealed, and delivered because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is one of the things that separates Christianity from world religions. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, as He said He would, and all the promises are secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, those promises are yea. Take care and have a good day.